Lecture topic, Bridging the Gap Between Parents and Children, Part 1.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala al mab'uuthi rahmatan lil alameen. Wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man walahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin wa ba'd. Faqad qala jalla wa ala fi kitabihil majid wa furqanihil hamid. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا وقودها الناس والحجارة عليها ملائكة غلاظ شداد لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام عفوا عن نساء الناس تعف نساؤكم وبروا أباءكم تبركم أبناؤكم أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, our topic of discussion tonight is extremely critical, crucial and pertinent. Speak to any person, regardless of his nationality, religious affiliation or geographical location, there is a common sentiment that is echoed by parents and guardians across the globe. And that is, the youth of today are in great danger. In April 1997, the then President of the United States had gathered an army of former presidents, state governors, city mayors, and hundreds of prominent people from all the different states to address one of the most pressing issues that are facing America today. And amongst the dignitaries present was Colin Powell. He was asked to lead the army. The task that was put before the panel, nay should I add, the daunting task that was put before the panel was, solve the problem of 15 million young Americans, who are considered at a risk of growing up unskilled, unlearned, or even worse, unloved, he said. Furthermore, he said, the problem has the potential to explode and erode the entire society. The ayat-e kareema that I recited before you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exhorts us, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. O you who believe, save yourself and your family and your children from the fire, the fuel of which is humans and stones. While this is a universal injunction and it applies to Muslims across the globe, however, it assumes special importance for Muslims living in minorities or Western societies. Khalid Baig has written a brilliant article on this ayah. To quote his words, it assumes special importance for Muslims living in minorities or Western societies. Why? Because the pressure to assimilate and integrate is just overwhelming. And hence the results are devastating. He further writes, despite all the noise in the world that Islam is the fastest growing religion, Muslim youth are succumbing to pressures at an alarming rate. Some openly renounce the Islam, others develop doubts and misunderstanding about Islam, and a large number seek compromises between Islam and un-Islam. Or many of them quietly develop those compromises without informing their parents, the result of which is an epidemic of confusion, split personalities, arguments with their parents and rebellion. Now I want to approach my topic on two fronts, and I think the posters had spelt it out quite loud and clear. One is the duty of parents towards children and the obligation of the juniors towards their seniors and in particular towards their parents. Let me then start off by saying Islam is that beautiful religion that exhorts us, encourages us in the strongest possible words that we show love, tenderness, affection to our juniors and to our children. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam picked up a child, hugged him and embraced him. A villager by the name of Aqra ibn Habis radiyallahu anhu was present. He said, "Atuqabbiluna subyanakum ya Rasulallah?" O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do you kiss children? He said, yes, of course, kissing and the loving of children is an integral part of my faith. So he responded by saying, إِنَّ لِي عَشْرَةً مِنَ الْوُلْدِ مَا قَبَّلْتُ وَاحِدًا مِّنْهُمْ. I have 10 sons, I have never kissed one. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what can I do if the element of kindness has been snatched from your heart? Ya'la ibn Murra radiyallahu anhu says, Nabi alayhi sallam was sitting, جَاءَ الْحَسَنُ وَالْحُسَيْنِ أَحَدُهُمَا قَبْلَ الْآخِرِ. The two grandchildren advanced towards Nabi alayhi sallam, one before the other. ضَمَّهُ, Nabi alayhi sallam embraces one. Then the letter comes, Nabi alayhi sallam embraces him. He then respectively kisses them. And he says, Allahumma inni uhibbuhuma fa'ahibbuhuma. Oh Allah, I love them and I implore you that you must equally love them. One narration suggests, yura hamilan ahada hafidayhi ala katifayhi. Nabi alayhi sallam was seen carrying one of his grandchildren on his shoulder and making his way to the masjid. Hatta balagha al-masjid, when he reaches the masjid, وَضَعَهُ عَلَىٰ جَنْبِهِ. Very gently, Nabi Sassam puts his grandson down. وَأَخَذَ يَأُمُّ النَّاسِ. And he leads the congregation. When he goes into sajda and prostration, أَطَالَ السُّجُودِ. He prolongs the prostration. When the salah terminated, فَلَمَّا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةِ, the congregation engaged Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إِنَّكَ سَجَدْتَ سَجْدَةً أَطَلْتَهَا. حَتَّى ظَنَنَّا أَنَّهُ قَدْ حَدَثَ شَيْءٌ أَوْ أَنَّهُ يُوحَى إِلَيْكَ. O Nabi of Allah, that was a rather prolonged prostration. We were debating in our minds, perhaps something drastic occurred, or either you were receiving revelation and hence you prolonged the prostration. Nabi alayhi salam refuted both. He said, كُلُّ ذَلِكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ. Neither revelation nor anything drastic. وَلَكِنْ نَبْنِي إِرْتَحَلَنِي فَكَرِهْتُ أَنْ أُعَجِّلَهُ. But the little fellow mounted on my back, if I may use that phrase. My little grandson hopped onto my back and I did not want to put the little fellow under pressure. So I gave him his time and his space. When at his space and his time he dismounted, I mustered the courage to gradually raise my head from sajda. Let's pause for a moment. The Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in sajda. Prostration epitomizes the servitude of an individual to its pinnacle. Because when you put in your head down, that is the time it is the most dignified and significant organ of the body is placed on the ground. It epitomizes servitude to its pinnacle. At that time also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not oblivious of the sentiments of his grandchild. How often don't we shun the child today? I've got commitments, I've got containers, I've got people to pay, I've got this to meet, and I leave my child, I shun this child. كُلُّ ذَلِكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ وَلَكِنْ نَبْنِي إِرْتَحَلَنِي. My little son mounted onto my back. I gave him time and space. And when he was done, gradually I mustered the courage and I lifted my head. When Hussein radiallahu anhu was assassinated, which was obviously a very, very sad chapter in the annals of Islamic history and a very volatile period in our history. Rabi ibn Khuthaym, who was a great tabi'i, wa kana qaleel al-kalam. I read this in Madarik al-Tanzil in the 24th juz. He was a man of few words. He was a man of few words. Rabi ibn Khuthaym had such a profound personality that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu told him, لو رآك رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لأحبك. I must tell you, Rabi, you haven't seen Nabi alayhi salam, but I lived very closely with him. But your personality is so impressive, if the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to see you, he would have fallen in love with you. Imagine the testimony of a sahabi, the testimony of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, that if Allah's Nabi had to see you. I often say this, in Surah Sa'd, Allah speaks about the various prophets, and Allah uses one phrase, وَذْكُرْ عَبَدَنَا أَيُّوبِ. وَذْكُرْ عَبْدَنَا أَيُّوبِ إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ أَنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الشَّيْطَانُ بِنُصْبٍ وَعَذَابٍ أُرْكُذْ بِرِجْلِكَ هَذَا مُغْتَسَلٌ بَارِدٌ وَشَرَابٌ. Allah speaks of Dawood. Then Allah speaks of Sulaiman. وَوَهَبَنَا لِدَاوُودَ سُلَيْمَانَ نِعْمَ الْعَبْدِ. Allah says, what a great person he was. One is my testimony, one is your evidence. It can be counted, it can be debated, it can be argued. But imagine Allah testifying in the favor of an individual and Allah say, what a brilliant bondsman. Wallah, if we can secure that praise from Allah, we lack nothing. And if we lack that, we've achieved nothing. Because the world is such, if somebody likes you, he elevates you. If he doesn't like you, he drops you. You know, we see in the media plays with it and life continues. There is nothing that is stable. So Rabi ibn Khuthaym, when Hussein radiallahu anhu was assassinated, people said, I think this, the assassination of Hussein radiallahu anhu, will spur this man into speech. He said very few words. He said, awaqad fa'alu? An exclamation of pain. Ali radiallahu anhu said, min qillati zad wa bu'di safar wa wahshati tariq. The journey to akhirat is long, my provisions are minimal, I wonder how I'll make it. Rabi ibn Khuthaym said, awaqad fa'alu? Have they literally killed Hussein radiallahu anhu? Then he went on to say, قُتِلَ مَنْ كَانَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يُجْلِسُهُ فِي حِجْرِهِ وَيَضَعُ فَاهُ عَلَى فِيهِ. Today they have killed such a person whose childhood and whose infancy was spent in the lap of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Where did Hussein spend his childhood? Not in the lap of a domestic servant, not at any school, not at any crash, not at in front of his electronic father and electronic brother and electronic siblings. I just was mentioning it now. 2 days ago I heard on the US report, a survey was conducted this week in the United States. Children between the age of 8 and 18. It was found that in every child between the age of 8 and 18, and it gave me a shiver because all three of my children fall in that category. And every child between the age of 8 and 18 spends 7.5 hours on electronic gadgets a day. 53 hours a week. What else can this child do? So where did Hussein radiallahu anhu spend his childhood? In the lap of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said they have killed that person. Man kana sallallahu alayhi wasallam yujlisuhu ala hijrihi wa yada'u fahu ala fihi. On whose blessed face the Master sallallahu alayhi wasallam had put his lips repeatedly. وَقَدْ ثَبَتَ فِي الصَّحِيحِ الْبُخَارِيِّ. The narration appears in Bukhari. أَنَّ أَبَا بَكْرٍ صَلَّى بِهِمْ الْعَصْرَ بَعْدَ وَفَاتِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu leads the Asr Salah days after the demise of Nabi alayhi salam. There could not be a more catastrophic moment in the annals of human history than the sad death and the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When the Sahaba returned from the demise and the burial of Nabi alayhi salam, Fatima radiallahu anha made two statements. She said, Anas, attabat anfusukum an tahthu ala rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wasallam at turab. Anas, I have one question to ask you. How could you pluck up the courage, and how did you pluck up the courage to throw sand and to lower the greatest human that ever came on the face of earth? How did you bring yourself to that point? How could you put him down and put sand over him? And then she said, "Mada ala man shamma turbata Ahmad, alla yashamma mada zamani ghawaliya." If you have been privileged with smelling the fragrance of the soil of my father's grave, you will be independent from fragrance till the day you die. You don't need now any fragrance. If you have been honored, privileged and favored by smelling the fragrance of the soil of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, ماذا على من شم تربة أحمد ألا يشم مدى الزمان غواليا. So days after the demise of Nabi alayhi salam, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu leads the Asr Salah. And he comes out, فَرَأَى الْحَسَنَ يَلْعَبُ مَعَ الْغِلْمَانِ. He finds Hassan radiallahu anhu playing with the children. He picks him up. There's a moment of silence. There's a transmission of warmness, affection. He looks at the child. Now bearing in mind the critical situation in which he was, Aisha radiallahu anha said, وَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ نَزَلَ بِأَبِي مَا لَوْ نَزَلَ بِالْجِبَالِ الرَّاسِيَاتِ لَهَذَهَا. On the demise of Nabi alayhi salam, when my father had to take office in today's political terminology, such a colossal and mammoth task rested on his shoulders. A, the expedition of Usama. B, the potential invasion of Medina. 3, the elements who were laying claim to prophethood. 4, the uprising in Medina. Initially, the debate regarding the nomination of a leader, and a host of issues that the new Khalifa had to contend with. Not to say that he was over with the pain of the demise of Nabi alayhi salam, notwithstanding all these commitments that mounted on him, but he spared a minute and showed love and affection to a child. Now I say, I have commitments, I have payments, I have these issues, and I shun my child. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, none could have been moved more emotionally by the demise of Nabi alayhi salam than Abu Bakr. He picks up the child, he smiles at him, and then in a lightheartedness he says, Ali radiallahu anhu, I know this is your son. Bi abi shibhun nabiyyi laysa shabihan bi aliyyin. But I must be honest, Ali, I don't see your dials on your son. I don't see any resemblance. This is an absolute replica of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. No offense to you, he remains your son and you the biological father. But this boy is an absolute replica of the Master sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam adopted his son Zayd radiallahu anhu, and obviously the subsequent verses were revealed, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا جَعَلَ أَدْعِيَاءَكُمْ أَبَنَاءَكُمْ ذَلِكُمْ قَوْلُكُمْ بِأَفْوَاهِكُمْ, that we've not made your adopted sons your actual sons, your biological sons remain your sons. Nonetheless, when Nabi alayhi salam adopted Zayd radiallahu anhu, and his father and his uncle were obviously searching aimlessly for the boy, and he sang the very famous couplets, بَكَيْتُ عَلَى زَيْدٍ وَلَمْ أَدْرِ مَا فَعَلْ أَحَيٌّ فَيُرْجَى أَمْ أَتَى دُونَهُ الْأَجَلْ فَوَاللَّهِ مَا أَدْرِي وَإِنِّي لَسَائِلٌ أَغَالَكَ بَعْدِي السَّهْلُ أَمْ غَالَكَ الْجَبَلْ تُذَكِّرُنِيهِ الشَّمْسُ عِنْدَ طُلُوعِهَا وَتَعْرِضُ ذِكْرَاهُ إِذَا غَرْبُهَا أَفَلْ وَإِنْ هَبَّتِ الْأَرْوَاحُ هَيَّجْنَ ذِكْرَهُ فَيَا طُولَ مَا حُزْنِي عَلَيْهِ وَيَا وَجَلْ. These are the painful sentiments of a father that was separated. The long and short of it is, every day as the sun rises and the birds chirp and the wind blows, my anxiety for you is aggravated. And as long as there is breath in me, I will search for you and I will look for you, O my son. Finally, he's told that Zayd radiallahu anhu is in the custody of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He comes to Nabi alayhi salam with his brother, that is Zayd radiallahu anhu's uncle. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, do you identify these two gentlemen? He says, yeah, that's my dad and that's my uncle. He said, O my son, we've come to take you, and O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are ready to offer any ransom, but release our son. Nabi alayhi salam said, I will not take a dime, I will not take a cent. But at the same time, if he wishes to come, by all means. But if he declines, I will not send him against his wish. Now we know the story, but I want to draw one very important lesson here. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Zayd, it's your choice. He said, مَا أَنَا بِالَّذِي أَخْتَارُ عَلَيْكَ أَحَدًا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَنْتَ الْأَبُ وَأَنْتَ الْعَمْ. Listen to this very attentively. He said, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I respect the seniority of my father, and I acknowledge that's my biological father, and so do I respect my uncle. But I will not give preference to anyone over you. You are the ultimate for me, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is my father individually, and that is my uncle individually. In your personality, I see a combined father and an uncle. I see a wholesome package in you. I see everything that I'm searching for. Why should I go to an individual father and an individual uncle when I find both of those personalities within you? On that note, I'm saying to you, my brother, and may Allah convey my sentiments to parents across the globe. Become the friend of your child so he doesn't search for a friend. Become the companion of your son so he doesn't surf the net for an accomplice to perpetrate a crime. Become the confidant of your child so he confides in you. Become the colleague of your child so he doesn't roam the streets and pick up evil, immoral colleagues. What did Zayd say? O Nabi of Allah, I seen everything in you. Now for me to become that package for my son, it will entail and it will encroach and infringe on my personal life. But that is my duty. Understand the privilege that Allah has given parents. We refer to Allah as Rabb, Rabb. Allah uses that same word, وَقُرْ رَبِّ رَحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Let's go into a bit of grammar, unpack, dissect the word. رَبَّ يَرُبُّ رَبًّا. You use that word for your creator, your nourisher, your sustainer. Obviously, we do not apply the same connotations to our parents. But the Quran chooses to use that word, which makes me understand my duty is just not to put a plate of food. Allah uses the word Rabbirhamhuma kama rabbayani. I have to see the nurturing of the child. I have to walk with that child and see the different developments of that child. The question is, where are the parents of today? And in particular, where are the mothers of today? I'm afraid the problem is self-inflicted. Driven out of their homes, in scores and in multitudes. Why? To realize their full potential. Last week I went one place, or the week before, after giving a talk, a brother came in tears. He says, "Maulana, what do I tell you? I brought my wife into the shop, and 3 months thereafter, a marriage of 20 years was dissolved. My best supplier, with whom we were dealing for 10 years, my wife buying from him, dealing with him, and then unfortunately it became an illicit relation, and the next best thing," she says, "you know what? I no longer have inclinations towards you." I said, "But there are 3 children in the marriage. This union enjoys a healthy relation. There are 3 children. So women were driven out of their homes in scores and multitudes to realize their full potential, in inverted commas. Where? On factory floors, in showrooms, in offices. Like someone wrote, a society that belittled the task of homemaking lost its homemakers. We're constantly bombarded with the campaign that calls for the destigmatization of the pandemic of AIDS. Come December, and then there is this awareness and anti, you know, this awareness against abuse against women and child and 16 days of activism. How about the formation of a campaign that calls for the destigmatization of home mothers? People who devote their lives to the molding of the generation of tomorrow that enhances the fabric of our society. They are left to the mercy of electronic parents and domestic servants. You can express mother's milk and bottle it, but Allah's qasam, in whose control is my life, you can never express the compassion of a mother and bottle it. So you appease yourself to say, "I've expressed my milk and I left it there." But how do you express the motherly compassion? As the Quran says, يَوْمَ تَذْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضِعَةٍ عَمَّا أَرْضَعَتْ يَوْمَ تَذْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضِعَةٍ عَمَّا أَرْضَعَتْ When Allah describes the supreme horror of the day of Qiyamah, Allah speaks of 2 things. A pregnant woman will abort her pregnancy. B, a nursing mother will abandon her nursing child. Nursing and pregnancy are exclusively feminine tasks. And this is not by accident. This is divinely the choice of Allah. Allah has favored her with the psychological makeup. Allah has favored her with the tolerance. I mean, I'll talk for myself. Leave the academic front. I barely can sit with my children and have patience in teaching them Quran. And amazingly, what strength Allah has given the woman. But if she has the time and she's relieved of other commitments, then she can perform to her optimum level in her domestic chores. Oppressed indeed is the woman of today. Under the slogan of liberation, the former Soviet leader, in one of his writings, I read a brilliant article of his. He was a bit more accurate and honest. He said, "Over the years of our heroic and difficult victory, we failed to pay specific attention. We failed to pay specific attention to the special needs of women arising from their roles as mothers and homemakers. And very importantly, their indispensable educational function towards their children. Over the years of our difficult and heroic history, we failed to pay specific attention to the special needs of women arising from what? Their roles as mothers and homemakers." So the slogans are, life is fun, children are a burden, homemaking is dull. So today we can see the generation that is coming out. We call upon the mothers of today with utmost respect to cherish their motherhoods. What a honor Allah has given you. What a privilege Allah has given you. That woman came to our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, and she had 2 daughters. And she came begging. So Aisha radiallahu anha took out 3 pieces of dates and she gave it to them. So she gave 1 piece to one, sa'adatha. She gave 1 date to one child, she gave the other date to the other child. Aisha radiallahu anha did not have children. And before the mother could eat her date, the children looked with envy and desire towards the third date. So they had their respective date. The mother only had one date. She was about to chew on that date, and the children would desire. And that's the amazing thing of a mother. The children look with envy and desire. The motherly sentiments are overpowered. They come into action. They come into motion. فَسَعَدَتْهَا نِصْفَيْنِ She splits the third date in half. Half to this child, half to that child. And the mother doesn't have anything. Aisha radiallahu anha was moved to tears by this incident. She was moved to tears. When the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned, she narrates the tale and she says, O Nabi of Allah, something peculiar, strange and unusual. A woman came with her two daughters, gave her three dates, respectively gave each one, about to consume the third one. The children look in desire, she splits it up and gives it to them individually. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَقَدْ دَخَلَتِ الْجَنَّةَ بِذَلِكَ Because of this act of kindness of the mother, Jannat is wajib on that mother. Jannat is wajib on that mother. There were prisoners that were captured. Prisoners that were captured. And in the prisoners that were captured, there was a woman that was separated from her child. And she started pacing up and down, aimlessly looking for her child. You could see the panic and the phobia and the nervousness on her face. Her movement in the anxiety of her child left the Sahaba to tears. Shaykh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda has written an amazing write-up on this hadith. Al-Rasul al-Mu'allim wa asalibuhu fi al-Ta'lim, in that kitab of his. It was such an emotional, and this is, he speaks about the methodology of Nabi alayhi salam as a teacher. So she's pacing up and down. It was so emotional. There was a moment of silence. Everybody said, end of the day, it's a mother and a child. The bond is amazing. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seized the opportunity. He said, أَتَرَوْنَ هَذِهِ الْمَرْأَةُ طَارِحَةً وَلَدَهَا فِي النَّارِ Oh my Sahaba, if this mother gets hold of this child, you think she'll ever forsake this child? You think she'll ever drop this child in fire? Said, no, Nabi of Allah, just look at her passion and desire. Just look at the amazing love that she has. I just had a case now last week. A woman got hooked up on some internet and Twitter and Facebook. She's ready to leave out of the marriage and she's ready to sign, I don't want to have any contact with my children for the rest of my life. I say, is this a mother? With which tongue do you talk? I can understand when it splits and it becomes ugly. Then it becomes antagonistic between partners concerned. But with your blood? They said, oh Nabi of Allah, Nabi Sassan said, do you think this woman will ever forsake? Look at the love of the mother. The Sahaba said, no. Nabi Sassam said, Lallahu arhamu bi'ibadihi min hadihi biwaladiha. This was a manifestation of affection of a mother to a child. I swear by Allah, Allah's love to his bondsman multiplied 1,000 times more than this mother to her child. So what I'm saying is, the first thing, from parents, we need to show love, we need to show affection. For many of us, unfortunately, we lost the opportunity and the time has moved on. The time has moved on. When our children were young and they needed our time, we had other commitments, we were caught up in other things. You know, I read a nice saying, happy people are not necessarily people who have everything, but rather they make the best of everything that they have. The happiness with your child and the time with your child means more and will go a longer way, my brother, will go a longer way then just, you know, throw in X amount of money and appeasing yourself that you've displayed your love and your affection. Now let's flip the coin and put the spotlight on the youth. And obviously this is a thing that brings a tear from the eye. How many are parents that are sighing with pain? How many are parents that are tossing and turning and their nights have become restless due to the pain and the misery that has been caused to them by their children? Allah guide one and all. I'm going to share with you an incident which has the connotations of student to teacher, but I want to extend it into child and parent relation. Amongst the distinguished students of Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi was Abu Yusuf and Muhammad rahmatullah alayhi. This is in the writings of Sheikh Muhammad Awama hafidhahullah in his famous kitab Atharul Hadith wa Adabul Ikhtilaf. A must read for scholars. It's in Arabic. It's a brilliant read. It's a brilliant read. Be it as it may, in this he has put an amazing incident. أن أبا يوسف مريض مرضا شديدا. The distinguished student of Abu Hanifa, Abu Yusuf رحمة الله عليه, became very ill. فَعَادَهُ أَبُو حَنِيفَ مِرَارًا. The tutor, the teacher went to visit his student few times. فَصَارَ إِلَيْهِ آخِرُ مَرَّةً. On his last visit, that he went to visit him, he realized that his condition looks quite critical, quite chronic, quite terminal, and the hopes of his recovery are rather slim and dwindling by the minute. So he made a profound proclamation in the favor of his student. He said, لَقَدْ كُنْتُ أُؤَمِّلُكَ بَعْدِي لِلنَّاسِ وَلَئِنْ أُصِيبَ النَّاسُ بِكَ لَيَمُوتَنَّ مَعْكَ عِلْمٌ كَثِيرٌ. It's sad to see you like this, my student. If I had hope and trust that anyone would succeed me in the seat of knowledge, my hope was with you. And if Allah's decision comes and you pass away, then a chunk of knowledge will go with you, which nobody will be able to replace. This was a man of Abu Hanifa's caliber, such a profound statement in the favor of his student. He made the statement and he went away. Allah's doing, ثُمَّ رُزِقَ الْعَافِيَةِ. He then recovered. فَأُخْبِرَ بِقَوْلِ أَبِي حَنِيفَ. So people told him, you know what, when you were sick, there was an influx of many visitors. And in the high profile list of those visitors that we entertain, your honorable tutor and your mentor, your spiritual leader, Abu Hanifa, Nu'man ibn Thabit, also paid you few visits. And I must just whisper something in your ears. He really acknowledged you and he said some profound words about you. He said, if he has trust in any of his students, it's you. And if he had hoped that anyone would succeed him, it's you. With respect, and hear me out loud and clear, with respect to the seniority of Abu Yusuf rahmatullah alayh, he somehow elevated these sentiments to a higher level. And he thought, this meant now I can become independent. فَارْتَفَعَتْ نَفْسَهُ وَعَقَدَ لِنَفْسِهِ مَجْلِسًا يَتَكَلَّمُ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ. He said, if that's what he said, then I think now I can become independent. I will conduct my own gathering. And this is a flaw of many scholars, Allah guide one and all. I'm a humble student and I say this to those young graduates. Hold the vision, the integrity, the seat and the garment of your seniors. And I focus that same question and I focus those same sentiments to the youth. Sometimes perhaps a child knows one particular thing. So the father asks him, my son, how do I use this phone? Or how do I send this message? Oh dad, you do this here or you do this here. The boy foolishly thinks, I'm one bar above the old man. If that's your perception, if that's your attitude, you have fallen to a point of no return. You have fallen, my son, I pity your destiny. You're the very bold, arrogant one that ventures into a marriage contrary to the sentiments of your parents, appeasing your ego that your wife is the right woman and life will work out. Give it 6 weeks and you'll be knocking their door for advice. But their bosoms are so broad, they'll take you back even after that. Abu Yusuf elevated it. وَقَصَّرَ عَنْ لُزُومِ مَجْلِسِ أَبِي حَنِيفَ. You know, in Arabic we say جُزْءِ فَذِيلَةِ and كُلِّ فَذِيلَةِ. There is a independent virtue that you might have. And in that regard, if you study the profile and the lives of the other prophets, many prophets in certain privileges, they had greater honors than Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But it doesn't make them greater than Nabi alayhi salam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I salute my brother Yusuf. لَوْ لَبِثْتُ فِي السِّجْنِ مَا لَبِثَ يُوسُفْ لَأَجَبْتُ الدَّاعِي. My hat off for my brother Yusuf. He stayed in the jail so long. And then they came to ask him for the interpretation of the dream. And unconditionally he interpreted it. If I was sitting so long, Nabi alayhi salam says, the hadith of Muslim, if I was sitting so long and they came to ask me for the interpretation, I would have told the gentleman, negotiate my release and then we'll talk of the interpretation. But I salute my brother Yusuf. Does that make Yusuf greater than Nabi alayhi salam? No, no. This is unfortunately the youth of today. This is where he's fallen very hard. He's fallen very hard. So Abu Yusuf now became a bit independent. So he stopped attending the gatherings of Abu Hanifa so religiously and diligently. Got a bit of wings now, flying. The youth is flying. It's flying high also. So Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi said, now understand, Abu Yusuf was no ordinary man. Oh, studying his fiqh. He was a giant. He was a giant, literally a giant in knowledge. In harafi jurisprudence, none to second him. Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi da'a rajulan, he called one person. Kana lahu indahu qadrun. He had a good relation with him. He said, do me a favor. I found out everything about my student Abu Yusuf. You go to him and ask him one question. Tell him, مَا تَقُولُ فِي رَجُلٍ دَفَعَ إِلَىٰ قَصَّارٍ ثَوْبٍ. It's a bit intricate and it's a bit philosophical. You know, I don't want to conduct a lesson of hadith or fiqh here in the masjid. It gets a bit intricate, but I'll try and simplify it to the best of my possibility so that we can appreciate the sentiments being echoed and conveyed in this particular parable and example. He said, do me a favor, go to my student in his gathering, camouflage yourself as a person, and ask him one simple question. Tell him there's a gentleman that took a piece of cloth and he went to a bleacher. مَا تَقُولُ فِي رَجُلٍ دَفَعَ إِلَىٰ قَصَّارٍ ثَوْبًا. He went to someone and he said, listen, my brother, this is a piece of cloth. I want you to bleach this. I want you to color this. I want you to dye this. I'll give you one dirham. They agreed. The transaction was finalized. Everything was in place. Gave him the piece of cloth. The amount was finalized. Some days later, the person comes back, the owner of the piece of cloth, and he tells the person that, you know what, I had given you a piece of garment, a piece of cloth, and I wanted you to color it and dye it. So the bleacher flatly refuses. And he says, we've got no agreement in place. I don't know what you're talking about. I haven't taken any piece of cloth. I'm sorry, you know what, there's nothing for you. Anyway, the man returns and he goes away. After a few days, ثُمَّ إِنَّ رَبَّ الثَّوْبِ رَجَعَ إِلَيْهِ بَعْدَ أَيَّامٍ. He comes back to him, says, my brother, be honest. I had given you a piece of cloth. It's valuable. I need it. And this was the agreement. So he says, yeah, okay, you know what, you are right. Here's the piece of cloth. And he gives it to him colored, dyed, and bleached. Go to my student and ask him, in a scenario like this, will the bleacher be entitled for payment for the work performed or not? So a piece of cloth was given. He accepted the agreement in principle. When the man went to collect the cloth, he denied. Subsequently, he returns the cloth. It's bleached, it's colored, and it's dyed. Would he be entitled for payment or not? فَإِنْ قَالَ نَعَمْ فَقُلْ أَخْطَأْتَ وَإِنْ قَالَ لَا فَقُلْ أَخْطَأْتَ. Go to him and ask him the question. If he listens to the ruling, he listens to the scenario, and he says, yes, he is entitled for payment, then with respect, tell him your answer is wrong. And then if he says, no, no, he will not be entitled for payment, tell him with respect, your answer is still wrong. Now, you know, sometimes we think we're smart, but we don't even know how to spell the word smart. Anyway, this person goes and presents himself in the gathering of Abu Yusuf rahmatullah alayh. And he says, your honorable, you know, your highness, your ustad, I would like to ask a simple question. Brother A goes to brother B. This is the scenario. In a case like this here, would the man be entitled for payment? Naam lahu ujratun. Yeah, yes, of course. Initially he declined, but ultimately the work was performed and the piece of cloth concerned was returned to the rightful owner. So, face value, yeah, pay the man, he's entitled. So the man says, with respect, أَخْطَأْتَ, I think your answer is wrong. You need to check your sources. So he looks down. My apologies. I just had a flash of a thought now. I revoke my statement. I retract my verdict. لَا أُجْرَةَ لَهُ. No, he will not be entitled for payment. He said, with respect, أَخْطَأْتَ, your answer is still incorrect. It comes in the narration, Abu Yusuf realized this was a hint from his ustad. And the scholars have written that that is the ideal way of advising your student or your son, that in you come about in a roundabout way, that it dawns upon him, he realizes his mistake. But in today's time, I have a problem with this because people don't pick up hints. That's the other problem we're having. Sometimes you blatant, brother is talking to you. But when she's smiling, then I ideally believe the smile is on me. You know, I fail to understand this logic. When she's smiling over my shoulders and I'm getting quite inflated here. I'm getting quite inflated. You know, I was just telling them a joke. I was now in Cape Town for a program. So this brother is telling us, we went out, we ate, and then we're going for the lecture. He says, Molana, my son came to me the other day. He says, Dad, I seen mom, her gaze was roaming and she was looking at all the men. I told him, good, she must look at silver and bronze to appreciate gold, man. The boy asked his father, Dad, you petting the horse? He said, we're going to buy it, that's why. He said, well, the neighbor is petting mom also. Astaghfirullah. Abu Yusuf picked up the hint. He understood the message. How long can I leave the lap of my teacher? My young boy, how long will you stray from your parents? How long will you not phone your mom? Halt your misfortune and return home quickly to open the chapter of prosperity. The quicker your return, the quicker your recovery. The more you prolong your return, you prolong your recovery. The choice is yours. Abu Yusuf walks in to the gathering of Abu Hanifa. Abu Hanifa said, "Ma ja'a bika illa mas'alatul qassar." You forgot my gathering for a long time. I know you perplexed on that one ruling. That's why you, yeah? Why else must you come? He said, "Yes, my teacher, I humble myself. My apologies. I'm learning the hard way." Then Abu Hanifa admonished him. Subhanallah, man qa'ada yufti an-nas wa 'aqada li nafsihi majlisan yatakallamu fi dinillah wa hadha qadruhu la yuhsinu an yujiba fi mas'alatin min al-ijarat. Subhanallah, these are the scholars of today pronouncing verdict on issues when they baffle with the simple of issues of deen. He said, "Ya Aba Hanifa, 'allimni mimma 'allamaka Allah." My teacher, I admit guilt. I humble myself. It was an error on myself, manifest error. How would we resolve a case like this? He said, "You will resolve it in the following way. In kana qasarahu qabla ma ghasabahu falahu al-ujra li'annahu qasarahu li-sahibihi. Wa in kana qasarahu ba'da ma ghasabahu fala ujrata lahu." We'll have to do some questioning to the person concerned who performed the work. Did you first decide to steal the piece of cloth and then bleach it or not? Those are pertinent questions to understand if he's entitled to ruling, if he's entitled to payment or not. If he decided after he took possession of the piece of cloth to steal it, and then he said, "Let me dye it," then there's no payment because he had not performed the work for the rightful owner. But if he took the piece of cloth, dyed it, and then an evil intention set in him to snatch it, then he will be punished for stealing the piece of cloth and subsequently returning it. However, he will be entitled for payment because the work performed was with the intention of the rightful owner. When Abu Yusuf heard this, he said, "Subhanallah, what profound words." And then Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi said to him, "Man dhanna annahu yastaghni ani ta'allum falyabki ala nafsi." If you think the day you left your teacher, you're independent of your teacher. And by extension, I say, my young boy, if you think the day you left your parent, you're independent of your parent. Abu Hanifa said, "You must cry tears of blood till the day you die." Then he gave such an amazing example. The Arabic of this is so wholesome. Listen to this now. He said, "Tazabbabta, tazabbabta qabla an tuhasrim." You know what deep Arabic these words are. He said, "You know what's your problem, Abu Yusuf?" With respect, his words. I cannot say it. Abu Yusuf is such a senior person. I'm a humble student. He said, "Your problem is you want to become a raisin before becoming a grape." Allah, when I read this, I was blown away, man. He said, "You want to become a raisin before becoming a grape. You want to run before you walk. You want to walk before you crawl. إِنَّكَ دَخَلْتَ مِن مَرْحَلَةِ الْبِدَايَةِ إِلَى مَرْحَلَةِ النِّهَايَةِ دون التأهل لذلك فالحسرم هو أول العنب وبعد أن ينضج تماما 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 يدخل مرحلة سيرورته زبيبا وهذا لم يحسرم بعد." Now you don't have to be you don't have to have a vineyard or grape farmer to know these basic things, or live in some part of the Cape to understand this terminology, basic terminology. The grape would mature, would evolve, and ultimately, the raisin is the final product. You're still a grape, Abu Yusuf. You have a long way to become a raisin, my boy. I say to you, my young boy, you're still a grape today. There is a lot of maturity. There's a lot of vision. There's a lot of experience that you need. Hold the hands of your parents and they will walk you along the path of life. During the period of Uthman radiallahu anhu, Muhammad ibn Sirin narrates it. Balagatin nakhlatu fi ahdi Uthman alfa dirham. During the time of Uthman radiallahu anhu, the value of the date palm had risen to 1,000 dirham. So it was taking prime value. So people stopped eating, because this is the time you can sell and you can make your money quickly. You know, one time when the rand dropped and the dollar and the pounds, everything was coming out. I said, how selfish insan is. We were sitting in Manchester, iftar time 2 years ago. And then there was some political turbulence in our country. Now, when you're abroad, sometimes you're not up to scratch with the happenings. I guess even when you're local, sometimes you're not up to scratch. News is happening so rapidly. And they say, when you're making news, you can't record. When you are the cause of news, then sometimes you don't know what you're making yourself because it's been recorded by others. Be it as it may, we're sitting on an iftar table, and there was some political turbulence, and the rand had fallen at that time. So there was one brother sitting there. He said, you know what? Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Go slowly, my brother. You're rejoicing. He says, no, my daughter is studying there in South Africa, so now for £1 she got more money. I said, insan, you are selfish. A nation can collapse. A nation can fall. But if it means my child has now 14 rand for a pound, I am smiling and I am brimming. Where is the brotherhood? A whole nation can come crumbling down to its feet. There's political turbulence. You're ousting one president, instating a temporary president, and I don't know what turbulence, but it results in the currency falling, and that means my child has more spending, so I am, you know, blossoming and blooming. What has happened to insan's values? You know, I mentioned Maulana Rumi Rahmatullah, read this incident in his kitab. He says this person came in the marketplace with a torch. Broad daylight. We're talking of solar panels and solar heating. So he's got a torch. So people said, my brother, off your torch. The sun is out. He said, no man, help me man. I'm looking for something. I can't find it. So what are you looking? He said, I'm looking for human beings. I read this in the writings of Maulana Rumi Rahmatullah. He said, what do you mean? Who are all this? He said, no, these are slaves to their egos. These are slaves to their egos. I'm looking for human beings. وَاذْكُرْ عِبَادَنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ أُولِي الْأَيْدِي وَالْأَبْصَارِ وَاذْكُرْ عِبَادَنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ أُولِي الْأَيْدِي وَالْأَبْصَارِ إِنَّا أَخْلَصْنَاهُمْ بِخَالِصَةٍ ذِكْرَ الدَّارِ وَإِنَّهُمْ عِنْدَنَا لَمِنَ الْمُصْطَفَيْنَ الْأَخْيَارِ. And narrate to them the tale of the galaxy of prophets. They were people with eyes and ears. They were people with eyes and hands. Allah said, who were they? They had eyes. What's so amazing about that? We all have eyes. No, they had the real eye. Ulil aidi, they had hands. Wal absar, they had the real eye. I'm searching for human beings. These are not humans.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.